salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Tuesday morning there, folks. Rocking and rolling here in this multi-million-dollar studio somewhere in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, I wonder if when we get to heaven, will there be such a thing as MVPs? Are there going to be MVPs in heaven? We know that Hebrews 11 is a faith hall of fame. It talks about all those who've done unbelievable things. In fact, the scripture said, Mike, if you can pull up Hebrews 11 for me real quick. I should have been prepared on that one. Just go to Bible Gateway or whatever it is and pull up Hebrews 11 because it's known as the Faith Hall of Fame. And you start out in the Faith Hall of Fame and it starts talking about all these great things that did all these things by faith. There it is, by faith Abel and by faith Moses and by faith, and all runs down through all these great heroes of the faith. And then it gets down to about the second part of it, Mike. I think down maybe about verse 17 or 18. I've got it here in front, but I don't have it on the screen. And by faith, Abraham, and by faith, Isaac, and by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Moses, by faith, esteeming the approach, by faith, he forsook Egypt. All these great things. These were MVPs, I assume. By faith, harlot Rahab. What more shall I say? Verse 32. For I don't have time to tell you about Gideon or Barak or Barak or Samson or Jephthah. By the way, if I were to do a quiz right now, could somebody tell me about Barak? Is it Barak? I don't know. I don't want to use that name. Or Samson or Jephthah. Does anybody know what Jephthah did? Who through faith subdued kingdoms? Did what? They subdued kingdoms. What does that mean? They wrought. What a word that is. Wrought. Wrought. Mike, go. I'm sorry. Mike, go to Webster. Wrought. That sounds like a pretty. That doesn't sound like a very nice word. If you wrought something, W-O-R-U-G-H-T. Wrought. Wrought. What the wrought? Worked. Formed by work or labor. Elected. Perform. Affected. Produced. Wrought. Worked. Formed. Righteousness. Isn't that what it says? Wrought. Righteousness. Worked for it. Go back to Hebrews, Mike. Wrought. Righteousness. Wow. What a word. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. Notice it doesn't say they received them. They obtained them. They stopped the mouths of lions. What? Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant. In fight. I think that means grew valiant in fight. Maybe they weren't valiant at the beginning, but they grew it. They were waxed. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And women received their dead back to life again, and others were tortured. Does anybody know who those were? No names, are there? Others who we don't even know about, they were tortured. Given a new meaning to living their best life now, right? Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In other words, they didn't bargain their way out of trouble. They didn't accept trouble. They didn't take the plea deal. Why? Because they wanted to obtain a better resurrection. God, this is so deep. Every word that we're reading right here is so deep. Wow. A better resurrection. Better one. Others? Who were they? Anybody know who they were? No, they were just others. Others had trials of cruel mockings. Not just mockings, man. They were cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. Boy, we ought to be running down through Webster's checking these words out. They were stoned. Who was? I don't know. The others. Who were those? I don't know. We don't know who they are. They were sewn asunder. Hey, Mike, what's asunder mean? I know what it means. What does asunder mean, Mike? What does Webster say? Asunder. Asunder. They were sewn asunder into parts. Separately. In a divided condition. In other words, they had the arm cut off and their leg cut off and their head cut off. Toes cut off, penis cut off. I'm just guessing there, right? Let's go back there to Hebrews. Sewn asunder, we softy old Christians. They were tempted. Isn't that a strange word to put right in the middle of that? They were stoned. They were sewn asunder. They were tempted. Tempted what? To recant, maybe? To give up? To renounce their... If you knew somebody was going to come today and cut off your arms and legs, would you be tempted? They were slain with the sword. That's merciful, I guess. The ones that weren't slain wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They're destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't receive the promise. Why? Because God provided something better for us. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. They're waiting on us. I want to honor this morning one of those fallen heroes that fell yesterday. Some of us know him and some of us don't know him, and most people don't know him because he was just one of those people of whom the world was not worthy. And that was Ron Brock, Ronald, he always told me. He didn't like to be called Ron. He was Ronald. Mike, can you put him up there? Because a lot of you people don't have any idea who Ron Brock was. Put the second of those two pictures I put up there, Mike. Folks, if you can, listen, hang on. Go back, Mike, to that picture. See, folks, what you're looking at right there, those are the people that the world is not worthy of right there, those folks that you see standing right there. Because for $30, you couldn't tell me the name of any one of those people. You couldn't tell me who they are. None of them. But if you look down at the very end, with a little black hat on, is a tiny little man, Ronald Brock, standing before Pastor Matt Tuella, right there. Went home to be with Jesus yesterday. 82 years old. Arrested over 70 times.
God bless him.
Arrested over 70 times. Lived. Are you listening to me? Lived in his truth truck. Can you show the truth truck, Mike? He lived in that, folks. Ron Brock lived probably the last 35 years of his life inside that truck. Of whom the world was not worthy. And you know what he did with it at night? You know where his home base was? Ron Brock parked this truth truck on the street in Washington, D.C. When he wasn't out and about, he was on the streets in Washington, D.C., even as he slept, a living sacrifice. 70 times, over 70 times arrested. Can't tell you the number of times I crossed paths with Ron. He was one of the most, you were convicted when you were around him. His fidelity to the scriptures and his fidelity to the truth was insurmountable. You were under conviction when you were around him. I would go, we would go to do street ministry, pick the city, New Orleans, Las Vegas, didn't matter where it was, Washington, D.C. At the end of the day, end of the night, I would go get in my $100, $150 hotel, take my warm shower and turn the heat up to perfect temperature, whatever I wanted to. And Ron slept in his truck. He told me he had to sleep in his truck because if he wasn't sleeping in his truck, it would be vandalized. Ron Brock lived in his truck. Can I tell you something? He shames me. Ron Brock's life shames me. We all talk about wanting to serve the Lord and making sacrifices for Jesus. How many of us really, really, really are willing to give up our creature comforts to serve the Lord? And Ron did. And you know, I had a conversation with him one time. Ron was married at one point, and his wife left him. Just one night, she was gone 30, 35 years ago. And Ron moved into his truck and spent the next 35 years of his life all in for Christ, all in for the babies. And you wouldn't even notice Ron, but you'd notice his truck. Now, Mike, I have a video to play. If you can just put it up to 1.5 speed. This is an interview. See, Ron Brock, when he took his truck out, he was like an artist. He would always say to me, like if we were having an event here in Columbus, he would say, okay, now tell me, Coach, exactly what is it we're going to do? Where are we going to go? Because he would make... He would get up early in the morning and he would put the signs on his truck that would be pertinent to whatever battle we were fighting that day. If it was gay marriage, he would have a gay marriage truck. If it was abortion, he would have an abortion truck. If it was government, he'd have a government truck. It didn't matter what it was. He tailored his truck and he was very, very meticulous. He would always say, I need more details, Coach. I need more details because my truck tells a story. My truck tells a story, Coach. And so I need to understand so that the truck will tell the story that we're trying to tell that day. It used to drive me freaking nuts. I said, Ron, just put your truck together, will you? But he couldn't. He couldn't. And so this is about a minute and a half. I'm sorry, Mike. It's a 7 minute. We'll go faster than that. It's 5 minutes of Dan Holman interviewing Ron Brock, 11/29/2018, about 2 years ago. Ron's been in and out of the hospital for the last year. He's 82 years old, heart problems, lung problems. And you know what his wish was? You want to hear about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dying wish? Ron Brock's dying wish was to die in his truck. He refused medical attention at the end. He refused food. He refused water. He died with his boots on in his truck. I just want you to hear the heart of this old soldier. Dan Holman filmed about 2 years ago. Play it at 1.5 speed, Mike. I think we can do it. I just play this in honor of Ron Brock. Go ahead, Mike.
You're obviously getting more and more disabled, and it's getting harder for you to minister as you did in the past. And your body is getting weaker, and your vehicles are getting older, and needing a lot of repairs. And we talked about a nursing home, but he said that you wouldn't even consider that. Why?
Well, I'll reword your question. Okay. At this time of life, you get a little bit more serious with the Lord and your end-of-life decisions and what you've done with it. And I want to be a Barnabas. I've got it here in my mirror, Barnabas. The word Barnabas means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. I want to be an encourager, not a criticizer. And what kind of heritage are we going to leave for our children? What kind of, have we proven to be faithful or not? What kind of example have we set? Chuck Swindoll did a wonderful 2 sermons, which out of Timothy, 1 qualifying to get into ministry, what I did, that was in 1 Timothy, but ending of it, I like the way he worded it, the end of Terry, or of 2 Timothy. Let's see, he had, looking back with no regrets, what kind of heritage have we left for others? And that's what the sermon was about, and that's what I want to be about. Finishing well, what so many people in this, you know, and particularly in my age bracket and younger, with having to be on the streets, having to do, you know, the way they've served in the past, they're done. They've had to be done. I am blessed that this billboard is a ministry that I have. And I'm very blessed with it. And people talk about retirement. And I said, I don't see that word in my Bible. My Bible talks about change of job description. Okay? And the fact of what can you do and how can your life be a witness to others of, and that's where I am. Okay, nursing home, there's 2 ways. Being what we do, I face the idea that I'm surprised I'm still alive. I figured I'd be dead a long time ago. Okay, either when we're active at the clinics or on the streets, somebody run me off the road for some reason or another, or as it happened with you and Donna, you got a bullet in your van. They fired at you. Okay, so that could happen. And the realizing that, thinking about, Lord, this is my wishes, my dreams, or what I'd like to have. I made statements at churches, okay, which, first of all, they like it. You know, I quote a chaplain. This chaplain said, you know, I'd like to die for a good reason. Whenever I quote that in church, everybody just, they like that. I'd like to die for a good reason. But they don't like the second sentence. Because if I don't die for a good reason, one day I will die for no reason at all. No reason at all. Okay. For my tombstone, I've tried to have that all laid out. Okay, things we said at my funeral, Matt Terwell is going to have he's got a good statement by that, and he and I have done that as far as preparing. Okay, on my gravestone, okay, 1 of 2 sentence statements I'd like to have. If I die of natural causes, Acts 13:36, when David had served God's purpose. If I die in action like Jim Hoyan did, Revelation 14:13, blessed is he that died in the Lord. For whatever it might mean, if I die of, again, quoting a statement where motivational lad I do, Jack DeBolt, okay, whom was a very good friend, leader in the early days, and with where we are with our health, he said, I just came to the point of where I had to decide with his body, just stay at home and enjoy my family. I said, you know, I've decided to do exactly the same. Jenny Dyer told me about whatever the name is that was faithful on the streets at that time, okay, she said, she wound up talking with one of the guards there at the jail where I was. And she said, he used to sit in the chair right around the corner from where you were. You couldn't see him, but he could hear you. And he listened to your Bible studies, you know, going over the scriptures every day. I thought, what a blessing to be used that way. So for whatever it might mean, all I know is that I want to go out serving, not only as a heritage example to others, but I want to live it to the fullest, okay? I want to live out that when David had served God's purpose. We're here to witness his, we're here for his good pleasure, not the other way around. And the joy is in being used by him. Not always fun, but what joy to have your life worthwhile. And particularly, I'm thankful that the Lord has given me a heart for our children. What kind of moral standard are we turning over to them? And for me to be able to do as much as I can do in that category, of witnessing, stand up.
Hey, Mike, I just sent you a video that just did that Mark Trump sent to me. Maybe you can throw that thing up on the screen. You know what he said? I almost stopped it there. By the way, there were pictures of his, early in that video, there were pictures of his truth truck, which had been totally and completely destroyed by vandals, rebuilt. And I salute Alan Hoyle, who went out of his way a number of times to help Ron get his truck back up and running and operating for 30 years on the streets. And Ron said, what, you can die for a purpose or you can die for no reason. I thought, wow, is that it? Die for a purpose, you can die for no reason. But you're going to die.
Hey, Coach.
There's, so Mark just sent me this, and this is probably about a year ago. Maybe you can blow that up a little bit. Show you how small, how what a diminutive man Ron Brock was. Mark ain't no giant. Mark's probably 6 foot tall. But the real giant standing beside Mark right there, Ron Brock. So I salute Ron this morning. Anybody have any thoughts? Go ahead. Was that you, Jeff? Anybody? Those of you new, Ron?
Yeah, you know what? As you're listening to that, and we knew Ron really, really well, just the time spent with that old boy. But you know what came to mind when you're listening to him? The name Paul Harvey. Did you hear him, how he spoke with the seriousness and the just, I mean, it was crazy. And every time Ron would come around, that's what you'd get from him.
Well, no joking, man. No joking with Ron, huh?
Crazy.
No mirth. No. He was focused, man. He was focused.
Coach, he was a trailblazer. Not only, I mean, he lived his life for Christ, no doubt about it. Known him for, golly, probably the last 20 years. But you know, he set the bar. The vehicles, the trucks, the bumper stickers with the Christian messages on it. He was the trailblazer for that.
Yes, he was.
A lot of people who got into the vinyl lettering of T-shirts, that he's the one that began a lot of that stuff.
He's right, the one
who got people involved in that.
And he was a trailblazer, and that they hated him when he did it, man. They hated him. And, you know, you talk about setting your safe light, face like flint and running the race, man. That old boy did it. Can I tell you the truth? Sometimes he bugged the tarnation out of me. He just did. Like Jeff said, wasn't a lot of mirth with him. How can you laugh when babies are being murdered? I know that's what he thought. I know. And to think at 82 years old, I just got back from Myrtle Beach. I wonder how many Ron Brocks I saw down in Myrtle Beach, walking the beach and getting fatter. And Ron died in his truck. Any thoughts, Mark or Mike, or those of you who knew him?
Coach, I drove a truck that Mel Gibson built for a few months, and so it had real slick signs and it was real big. And I what annoyed me about it is I didn't get enough one finger salutes to satisfy me, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And that was a problem I did not have driving Ron Brock's truck when it was 4 against 40,000 scouts. In July of 2019. And I got so many one finger salutes, they wouldn't even sell us gas at the local gas station. you said that Ron's truck was a work of art. It was a sculpture. It was art. Yeah. It was an incredible, tool weapon. It was a artful weapon. And, it's poetic that he died in his truck.
He would drive that thing into the parking lot of those mega churches, and they would lose their religion, brother.
It was the truck of conviction. He had conviction on that thing.
It was conviction, brother. Okay,
that's why they reacted the way.
But you're right. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
One of the second times I met him, I think, was the week or so before he got an open heart transplant. Okay. And I met him with Alan Hoyle. We were at one of Alan's friends' houses, and Alan was going to, you know, help him get to the hospital and back. But that day, he told me, first thing is y'all talk about him, mirth. He taught me that the Bible says that every idle word will be judged. Every idle word will be judged. And he's also telling me about his arrest, his 70-some arrests, and how they beat on him and how many times he'd had to go right to the hospital after leaving the clinic. You know, the cops would have been the ones beating him. So he learned how to crawl to the abortion clinic. And he got down the week before he got a heart transplant or heart work, open heart surgery, and he crawled and showed me. This man. He taught me a lot, Coach. He really did.
Do you have any idea how many? Do you have any idea how many babies he saved? We'll never know.
He said, "You can't accuse a man of hitting you if his hands are on the ground crawling." That's Ron Brock, and he had signs in his van. He had a card catalog of all these different layouts. He would take pictures of his truck so he could prepare to go help you and go to the Boy Scouts. He would re-equip it. All of his signs were in his truck. He took them with him.
Yep.
And all of his art, his sculptures. It was amazing. I can't even tell you, Coach. He humbled me.
Yeah, that was the thing, man. The conviction of just being around him. So, Ron deserves to be in the Faith Hall of Fame. I'm telling you that he is there, and here's a guy who absolutely laid it all down. He laid it all down. He loved my wife. He loved my wife. He loved Michelle. Probably in his dreams, he would have loved to have her as his wife. Somebody like her to serve him. He was, what a guy. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just a few quick stories. I'll just take a minute or two, just so some of the people that don't know Ron will kind of hear some of this, the craziness that went on with this man. Anytime he'd come to town, he'd come to my car lot, and he would park that truck out in front of the car lot. Everybody in town, people in town were infuriated with it. And then he would come to my house. He'd come down our street and park it at the house and would not come in the house. Dead of winter. 0 degrees outside, and we're like, Ron, come in and sleep in the extra bedroom. No, he said, I can't leave that truck. He came, the three trucks, I think he went through, or four. The one truck had over 600,000 miles on it. One truck. The one truck, they had to scoop it off the highway. It disintegrated, broken pieces. They had to scoop it up with front end loaders. He calls me. I said, Ron, I found you a truck. We found one in Belleville, Ohio. Nice, pretty little camper, little Toyota camper. 68,000 miles on this thing. This thing was mint. We went out and bought it for $4,000. He's like, is it going to be good? I said, Ron, this thing's nice. And I tried to tell him, I said, Ron, you ought to live in this. Keep this thing like it is. He brings it to my car lot. He's there for probably 12 days, at least 12 days. Out there with the nicest looking Toyota camper you'd ever find. Probably the nicest one on the road. And we're out there cutting, tearing apart, demolishing, gutting the bathroom, drilling about 600 holes in this thing. We're out here drilling and drilling. You ought to have seen it. Ladders all around this thing. Ricky, and it gets aggravating. You know, Ron would just be like dead serious every day from sun up to sundown, drilling these holes, doping them with the caulking, getting, it was crazy. But the weight that was in that truck and all them signs in the back, because first you had to sheet it with plywood, then you sheeted it with all them signs, then he'd be in there in the sink in the car lot in the bathroom or out there in the bay, doing a bath in the sink. He's just bathing all up and dumping out his rotten chocolate milk, rotten food, throwing it in my dumpster. Then he'd go over to Neff's, get him some fresh food again. He'd chop up stuff and bag it. And I mean, he lived his whole life that way. But so dead serious about serving the Lord. That was just, it was absolutely a lot of stories with him.
Folks, he had all those signs in there, and every one of them were screwed in. So when Jeff's talking about drilling holes, Ron would drill holes in the truck, and then he would put screws in the signs that would go into the holes he had on the truck. That's how he secured the signs. He changed the signs. Every time he went to an event, he put different signs on it. Come on in, Roger.
Oh, Dave, is there any information? It may seem like an odd question, but is there a funeral? Is there a place to send a card to the family? Do you know of any? Does he have a home church that's burying him?
Pastor Matt Terwell is going to handle it. I think we ought to call President Trump and let Ron lay in state in the Supreme Court for a few days. That's what I think.
Boom.
Amen.
that's what I think.
Put his truck in there and lay him on top of the truck.
Yeah. Amen to that.
I think the Smithsonian is the right place for his truck.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I spoke
I think,
very well.
I think I ought to set it down to at the entrance to Sky High. That's what I think I ought to do. If they don't know what to do with it, I got a place we can set it.
I think there might, I spoke with Rusty about this probably several months ago, because he had spoken with Rusty about having a burial place, and they talked about down by Jeremiah's, down in that family plot down in there. So that possibly could be the place.
Well, folks, I just wanted to honor Ron this morning. I rejoice over his life. I rejoice. Again, it humbles me when I think of the the comfort that I live in. You too. Come on. The comfort you live in. And to know, those of us who know him, know what he... he had the most unbelievable toes that you would ever see. I'm not making fun of him. His toes... when Ron would take off his boots, his top big toe would touch his little toe over the top. Do you understand what I'm talking about, folks? Can you take your fingers and put it over the top here and bring your toe? That's what his feet looked like. It's amazing. Bless you. Well done, Ron. Well done, man.
Coach, if you can you send me that video? Because I'm sure that we'll want to play that in church Sunday morning, because Ron probably was in our church 50 times or more. He'd park out front the front door of that church. Yeah. He was a regular there. We'll play it.
He was something. Yeah, I'll get it to you, Joe. I'll get it to you. Hey, our tactical event this weekend, we're excited about it. Listen, if you're coming, folks, please dress warmly. Looks like the high is going to be low 60s. It's going to get down maybe into the 30s at night. So if you're thinking of camping, or, you know, we're going to have a tent again. We'll have a tent that we're all going to sit under, and we're going to do everything we can. Kind of breezy up the top of the hill. So, you know, have a jacket with you. It's not going to be freezing. It's going to be, but if the wind kicks up, it can get chilly up on top of that hill. So just please just dress appropriately and accordingly to what at night it's going to get chilly. If you have any questions, listen, I keep getting, not a lot of emails, but I get emails because we haven't really sent out the address to Sky High. Not that we're trying to hide it. I guess we just didn't include it. So we'll be getting out some information for those of you coming. And Gary's done a wonderful job setting everything up. So I'll serve the ball to Gary, and he'll make sure you all know where to come and all that kind of stuff. Cool. Amos, you want to say something there? Your microphone's open. That's why I asked, brother. Nope. Okay. Cool. Nope. No big deal, brother. Wasn't trying to embarrass you. Anybody? Anybody
about that? Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what I've been talking about both the kingdom of God and the ecclesia, because that's exactly what this man was doing. And the reason that I've decided to, you know, link arms with you and Bradley Dean and Mike Spaulding and Ron Pugh and Rusty, I mean, all you people are the ecclesia. And when you look at Hebrews and you look at the Hall of Fame of Faith, they have three things in common. They either confronted God's enemies, they either confronted their own government, or they confronted their society. You can go down that list and link just about every person in that. We have churches today that will not leave the four walls of their church and confront anything. They want to stay home. They want to stay where they're on kind of a home field advantage, where they have no problem half of them have no problem preaching the truth as long as it's in the four walls of the church. But God forbid they go outside and say anything. And that's the thing I'm getting so tired of in organized religion. I went to my denominational president. We've got hundreds of churches. And I said, you realize God said, go and make disciples. Okay. That's outreach ministers, evangelists, and teachers. I said, you realize your congregation, your denomination only wants to hire pastors and youth pastors and worship leaders. All you care about is what's going on inside the four walls of the church. You will not go out and confront anybody. And he couldn't say a word. So that's right. Who we need to link arms with is the people that are just actually going out and confronting the evils of this society. And that's why I'd like to honor him with what we do going on here. Cause I'm telling you what, just as Judaism was broke at the first coming of Christ, Christianity is broke as we get close to the second coming of Christ. And there's going to be a major, 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 restoration and revolution, really, as we transition from the church age into the millennial reign of Christ. Christ's attitude of the early church is going to say, or the latter day church is going to be the same as it was of Judaism. I mean, the political system was broke, the religious system was broke. That's where we're at in this country. And there's a big change coming, and I think people like you, Coach, and the rest of the men and women on this call are going to be leading that.
Right. Hey, you know something, John? As Ron Brock said, you can either die for a purpose or die with no purpose. That's really the choice that we have, and we're all in the hands of the Lord. And, you know, as I said yesterday, there's not a morning, there's not a night that I go to bed that I'm not wondering if some black limousine's not going to come crashing into my house and pull me out, or not any morning that I get up that I'm not thankful that I'm up, that I got another day. But the idea that each day could in fact be our last is something that is just becoming more and more real to me as I look around. And, you know, I was reading something yesterday from Mike Adams, a health ranger, and Mike Adams was talking about in a very short period of time, because of the financial situation that we're in, that we don't even realize that we're in, that people are going to have to be sleeping in tents, campers, that time's almost upon us. And so it makes me more sort of focused on what Sky High is all about. Are there going to be people? Is that going to be a refugee camp for Christians? Do we really understand the time in which we live and really understand what's going on around us and really understand the depth of the corruption of the government and really understand that we're in a lawless nation and really understand that we really have no redress of grievances and really understand that we're all sitting around waiting on Bill Barr to do something or whoever, Durham, to do that? We're all sitting around waiting on people to do something and nobody's doing anything. Do we really get it? Do we really understand it? Are you really willing to put all of their eggs in Bill Barr's basket? You think he's going to do that? You think QAnon's going to do it? You really think that? You think all of a sudden there's going to be a big net's going to come down, it's going to arrest everybody? You really think that? Come on, man. The devil's losing, but he's not going to give up without a fight. And I said yesterday, I think we're going to win. But it ain't going to be an easy victory. But it's going to be a victory. I'm convinced it's going to be a victory. And I want to shift gears right now because I think it's important that all of you understand this, that I'm not just blowing smoke at you. Mike, I want you to pull up, where is it, ballot harvesting. Folks, are you aware what's going on with ballot harvesting? James O'Keefe Veritas, he's done a lot of exposés about what's going on in Planned Parenthood and government and all that. Well, James O'Keefe did a expose yesterday that came out that about the coming election. Because we're all looking at 30-some days, whatever it is, 40 days, and we think all of a sudden everything's going to get better in 40 days. Folks, what happens if the same people that we're counting on look the other way as the election is stolen from us? Our elections, I'm convinced of this. You think you call me as crazy as you want to. I don't think Barack Obama was ever elected president of the United States. I don't think he was. I think the shenanigans that were going on behind the scenes, the ballot, the messing with the machines. I don't believe he was ever elected. I don't know how far it goes back, but I promise you Barack Obama was never elected president of the United States. That's what I think. Certainly not twice. And we see what's happening now. And we say, well, let's get there with Trump. You look at Trump rallies and people are standing 2 miles to get into them. And you look at a Joe Biden rally and there's six people there and they tell you that Joe Biden's ahead in the polls. Do they think we're stupid? Or do they know something we don't know about the ballot?
They do think we're stupid.
Well, how the ballots are going to be counted. Do they know something we don't know?
Yes, they do.
Because we know this, folks. We know this. Joe Biden, he's a non-entity. He's not. There may be some people voting for Joe Biden, but they're not. The Trump people are out in droves.
Hey, Coach. No. The polls are expressing what the stupid people want to see, regardless of truth.
That's right. So, Mark, ballot harvesting. I've been following this. I don't know about you guys, but my wife and I have already received twice in the mail now ballots. I tear them up. I'm going to vote in person. Well, we've already received through the mail ballots, so that we can do this mail-in voting or whatever. Well, I don't know if you guys understand this or not. We're going to find this in James O'Keefe's this video I'm going to show you here in a second. Ballot harvesting is this. There are those out there who go around and they confiscate, they buy, they collect all of these ballots that have been sent to people, whether it be inner city, whether it be in retirement homes, whether pick wherever it would be in the projects. All these people have been sent ballots. People go get those ballots. And then they pay, they go and they offer a guy $5 if he'll sign his name on the ballot. And the guy signs his name on the ballot. And then the people take it and they fill out the ballots. They fill out the ballot. The guy's already signed it. He got his $10 or he got his $20. Or they just find him in open mailboxes. And that's called ballot harvesting. And so what they're trying to do now with the election coming up is ballot harvesting, meaning in a couple states already, they said that they're not going to count the ballots till 10 days after the election. Now, why is that? So they can do the ballot harvesting. All these ballots that have been sent out all across America to probably every citizen. I don't know if it's sent it to every citizen, every non-citizen, whatever. They are going to collect these ballots, find out how many votes they need, and they are going to create votes, folks. This is going on. And we are in a banana republic. We are in a nation where you cannot trust anything that our elected officials are doing. Can't trust anything. So this lady that got arrested down at, got tased at the football game. This is how devious people are. They say, well, she didn't get tased for not wearing a mask. She got tased because she wouldn't comply with the police officer. They didn't tase her for the mask. She disobeyed the police officer. That's why she got tased. All she had to do was disobey the police officer. You see where this is going? You see where it's going? And the local police, the Logan, Ohio police, they released a statement. What's the statement say? Oh, we didn't tase. She didn't get tased because she didn't refuse to wear a mask. She got tased because she was trespassing.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Where's the outrage from the people?
There isn't any, is there? There isn't any outrage from the people. See, it's coming, folks. It's coming. Our problem is we have, as I talked about a couple of weeks ago, we have no redress of grievances. Who do we turn to? Right? We have people out arresting people for not wearing masks. And I'm going to show you a few minutes, not the whole thing. I want you to watch it later, of James O'Keefe and what he's doing. You wonder why all these Muslims are getting elected in Minnesota. Well, we're going to find out why. Now, here's what I think. All Americans ought to be stopped. The President of the United States, the Attorney General, somebody ought to say, hold off, hold on. No election until we get this mess cleaned up. Mike, go ahead and play just a few minutes of this James O'Keefe expose of ballot harvesting going on right now.
Project Veritas has received an explosive piece of tape. The tape you're about to see shows a man buying a registration form for an absentee ballot from a voter, giving him, quote, pocket money, unquote, of $200 and expecting to collect his ballot when the voter receives it.
He's explaining to him in what he has to do. Words are on the screen for us. Take this money from your pocket. Another tape of ballot harvester admits to being paid $800.
That's illegal. Why?
You don't get illegal. Not lying.
This is illegal. How much are you giving? $800? Our investigations expose pay-to-vote scheme in Minnesota.
She's like the one who came up with all this.
So she did it. She started this whole thing with the pay-to-vote.
Yeah.
So the people that work for Ilhan are actually counting the ballots, counting the vote.
And they become a manager in the prison too.
If you don't have an absentee ballot, the ballot harvester will vote for you. And the polling
They walk with you to the booth
and then they vote, oh, vote this guy, vote this guy, vote this guy. Vote even if you speak English.
This guy admits to pain. Sources say Omar's biggest financial behind
the reason she's fighting for Palestinians is because of this guy. So it's all about money and power, and they want her to sure defend Israel.
It's against the law to do this, folks. Okay, Mike, I don't know if this is working. You can shut it off. We'll make this available for us to see. So right now, do you think Bill Barr doesn't know this is going on? Does anybody think maybe Bill Barr, does any elected official know that this is going on? We have evidence of it. Have you heard anybody call for some type of investigation to stop? Anybody know anything about that? They're arresting women for not wearing masks. They see that violation of the law, which affects nobody. But anybody hear any cry about this? And boys and girls, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? What are we going to do if they steal the election? Joe Biden has six people come to his rallies. You can't get in one of Trump's rallies. They stand outside for hours and hours to get in. And they want to tell us that Joe Biden's going to win. So they're trying to project to us what's going to happen as a result of the ballot harvesting. Folks, I saw another video yesterday. You know, Hillary Clinton, at the end of 2016, she didn't even visit Wisconsin. She didn't even visit Minnesota. There's one other state she didn't even visit. Why? Because this ballot harvesting operation was already at work, and she knew she didn't have to.
Right.
She didn't have to.
Dave, I never thought about that, but that makes perfect sense.
Roger, have you gotten any ballots in the mail yet? Just all of a sudden show up in your mailbox? Anybody out there, has that happened to you?
But that is precisely why she didn't go to Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Right, it was already rigged.
They told her. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Let me share with you what the Lord showed me, and it's all come to pass. So, you know, I was kind of skeptical in the past when I first received this. You know how it is. You know, you're not really sure if you're hearing from the Lord or not. But when the whole pandemic started, I went to the Lord in prayer, and I really just went with the intention of, okay, Lord, they say this thing's going to kill 2 million people. I was praying about me and my family, and God said this has nothing to do with anything. What God showed me, and this was back in March, what God showed me was all that the Democrats have to do is flip four states to flip the election: Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. If you take those four states that went red and you flip them blue, the election would have went to Hillary. And I went and just did the research, and I'm like, man, that's absolutely right. And then you look at the states that were in the biggest lockdown that are demanding the mail-in ballots, and it's those four states. They don't care about anything else. And as I said, I was a little skeptical, and I didn't say anything because, you know, Lord, is this you? Is it? But I mean, now as I've seen this play out over the last 6 months, I'm absolutely convinced that this was their strategy from the very beginning, and now the evidence is starting to come out.
So, John, now they're talking about, see, folks, don't miss this, right? Come on now. Now they're saying we have to do mail-in ballots because of COVID, right? So they've put in our brain that nobody can go vote because it's so dangerous because of COVID. Now if somebody, Barr, Trump, they speak out against the ballots being sent to people, well, they're going to scream and holler. Well, see, he's trying to rig the election. Remember, the left always accuses you of what they're doing. They are rigging the election with all the mail-in ballots. That's what they're doing.
Amen, Coach.
Somebody speaks out against us and say, see, he's trying to rig it. He'll never leave. See, I told you, he'll never leave. Even if he loses, he'll never, right? Isn't that what they're saying, right?
Yeah,
hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Even here in supposedly solid Trump country, South Carolina, the news media and all the newspapers and TV deals and everything are portraying how it's getting worse and worse. The numbers are getting worse. Not as many people are dying, but this is a horrible, it's getting worse. We've got to do something to stop it. It's all, I believe, in preparation. They approved mail-in ballots for anyone. You don't have to have, you know, any of the old reasons for voting absentee or anything. Anybody can have a mail-in ballot in South Carolina now. And I believe they're going to go to all mail-in ballots with no polls open. And the kicker is back in February, just the first week of February, I saw this coming and I wrote up a 6-point deal of 6 things that would have to be put into law in any state where the mail-in ballots could be fairly counted if the various parties followed through on what would be their responsibilities of watching each other, but to set in place a system where the voting could be accurate. But do you know not one House member or one senator in the South Carolina House even bothered to acknowledge that they received my email with those 6 things that needed to be done?
Yeah, well, Larry, here's what they're conditioning us to do, folks. They have conditioned us that wearing a mask is a law when it isn't. Social distancing is a law when it isn't. Not going to church is a law and it isn't. Closing down everything that is not lawful. And so that they can mess with the ballots. Why? Because we've let them just do whatever the hell they wanted to with everything else, with no rule of law. So therefore, the rule of law, when lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And people are looking around and they're saying, well, why should I follow it? And why should I do it? And so I walked in to Lowe's the other day. Signs everywhere. Wear your mask. And I go in there and everybody's wearing a mask and nobody said anything to me as I walked in. Steve, Dad, we don't have masks on. It's not the law. And you say to somebody, it's not the law. I don't have to do it. And they just look at you. They don't know what's the, see, now you don't even have to prove you are a citizen to vote. Can't we see the danger with this? And we don't care. Can't do anything about it. We may not know who's president till all January. We may get around to it by February. We're freaking banana republic, folks. The devil has swept in. Ugh. Hey, somebody come in and join us here. Come on, man. Go ahead.
The post office ain't going to do anything wrong, are they?
No, they're not
going
to do anything.
The post office ain't going to. They're fine.
They can't do anything anyway, right? They just have to deliver the mail. That's all. They deliver it to the Board of Elections and the Board of Election Council. And the Board of Election, they get this mail-in ballot. It could be somebody in, let's say, Hebron, Ohio, Licking County, Ohio. The mail-in ballot comes to Licking County, Ohio from a citizen who's in California. How do they verify that citizen in California is who they say they are? How do they do that? See? Oh, my God.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, one of my 6 points was the mail was not to be delivered to the election committee or to the election councils or offices, that the mail was to be picked up and every party that had a candidate in the election had the right to be there when the post office released the letters going to the election commission. That was one of my points, is it couldn't be just random delivery to the election office. You know, common sense things like that. But no, nobody wanted to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
That's right. I'm telling folks.
Hey, Coach, let me ask you something. So did you actually get a ballot in the mail?
Clint, I've received them twice now. I've received ballots twice from 2 different organizations. Here is your ballot. Sign it, mail it in. Twice.
Here in Dallas, they actually mail you an application to mail in to get a ballot.
No.
So you have to file an application. But this is going to give Biden all the more reason not to concede the election, even if it's a landslide.
Isn't that what they've been saying? Isn't that folks, can't we see how they're setting this whole thing up? Because why, Glenn? They know they're not going to win. All they can do is make the rest of us question.
Amen.
The election, see? Amen. Question the validity of it. You notice again, the left has not accepted Trump's election. 4 years, they still haven't accepted his election. And what are they saying again? Well, see, he's not going to accept it. No matter what the statistics are, he's not going to accept it. When they're the ones that don't accept it.
Right. It's projection. Everything they do, they put on us. Everything they do.
That's Alinsky's rule for radicals, right? Accuse them of what you're doing.
What's up, hey, Coach?
Yes.
I guess my question would be on these mail-in ballots, because I've seen these videos. Does it have that little barcode on the back of them with either an R and a D?
Well, Dale, I ripped them up so fast I didn't even look. A lot of them do. Yeah, a lot of them do. Folks, I'm asking you, watch this video, James O'Keefe video. Mike, if you haven't, put it in the chat here so people can look at it. Maybe we ought to post it as well on at CoachDaveLive.com, because there's another one coming. I mean, there's another video coming. We know this, right? And now we're seeing that, folks, this is all going back to, are you ready? That illegal American Muslim freak. It's all going back to him, folks. I posted a meme. Go to my Facebook page, Mike.
Hey, okay. Coach.
Yes.
What if I were to print out a million pieces of paper, make them look just like your ballot, and mail them out with a false address, a bunch of DC symbols and zip codes? What if I did that? Who's going to contest what they get in the mail is authentic? So then you mail it in and think you voted.
Right. Well,
it could be physical. This is called phishing. So they send out a false email, in this case, an actual ballot. What would stop them from doing that? What authenticates that piece of paper is actually from the government?
It's amazing, man. It's like we're voting for Oscars.
So the offensive action here is to publicize the fact, take a picture of your couple ballots and say, are these from the government? Vote in person. We don't even know they're from the U.S. government.
We don't even
know. Or what about the address they're being mailed to? See, I could send 10 people 10 different addresses. Yes. They wouldn't know.
No.
This is such a way. That's all right. What Larry said is true. You just have to fill out all this information or be a service member deployed or, you know, some condition to be absentee. This is just like, as soon as they said that, of course, this is just filled with opportunity for fraud. It's filled with it.
Hey, Mark, on purpose. In 2016, in some districts in South Carolina, 40 people's mail-in ballots had the same address in a two-bedroom home.
Yep. Okay, so make no mistake about it. This is the meme I put up there. I don't know where I got it, but this is it. That Muslim freak right there. Make no mistake about it. The Obamas were the creators and starting point of all the division and current anti-American chaos we're witnessing in America today. Anybody disagree with that? Anybody disagree? That Muslim freak right there. Yep.
Hey, here's something else too, Coach. On the job site this morning, people are already talking about Trump only paid $750 in taxes. So this news broadcast, this tax return has already got people talking already.
Not anybody's got any sense. Clay,
hey,
nobody has. That ain't moving. Anybody's got any sense.
What they didn't mind saying that he only took, what, $1 a year to be president, so he forego his company, so he can't have interest in his company now, and he didn't take a salary.
Who cares what this guy made in the private eye? My question is how are all of these politicians becoming millionaires, billionaires,
at the
expense of the American
people?
Off the mail-in ballots, you don't think that the thuggery of Antifa and Black Lives Matter are not going to be thugging at these polls?
In other words, we think they're going to be honest? Really? You really think that? Huh? Oh, come on, man. So, folks, listen, we're about out of time here. We're there, boys and girls. And anybody who, right now, remember I talked to you a couple months ago about the video I made or wrote about policing the law-abiding? Well, they'll tase you for not wearing a mask. They'll get after you for not social distancing. They'll get after you for going to a football game or going to a basketball game or going to church. But stealing ballots, don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing, right? Don't mean nothing.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
So we know how the left reacts when they lose. So if they succeed in pulling off this heist, how are Trump supporters going to react?
Yeah. Well, Gary, let me ask you this. Who is the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota? Anybody know?
Keith Ellison.
And what religion is Keith Ellison?
Muslim.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.